Here am I. Who shall I say sent me?
Tell them I am who I am. I am the way, truth, and life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am who I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Harborside? Good? Yeah. How was Thanksgiving? Are you still on a food coma?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we're so excited that we get to be here with you. If you haven't met us yet, this is Ethan and I'm Bas, and we are going through a really cool series. As you heard from that epic deep voice, I am. And we're going through every I am statement that Jesus has revealed of himself to us. And the first one that we had was with Matt Turnus, where he talks about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember that sermon? That was his very first sermon. He gave us his best. It was really good. And yes, the Vols. We had a big moment with the Vols where he was saying that he had everything planned out to go to the stadium and watch that epic football game with Alabama, but he didn't have a ticket. So he just had to conform with watching the game with us.
Yes.
Because now I am also a Tennessee fan. Solely by relationship. I have no deep connection to it. But I learned that right after the Star Spangled Banner, the second most important song in America.
Is Rocky Top.
Is Rocky Top.
Yes.
Yes.
She's learning well.
Yes.
Second week, we learned the statement that I am the light of the world. And this was an incredible message that we heard with such a beautiful description and example that we as a church really encountered together, which was that Christmas Eve. Do you guys remember this example that he shared? And how on that night, I mean, the wind was blowing, it was raining all day beforehand. There was no way we were lighting these candles. But in a moment, the darkness was illuminated by light. And this was such a beautiful example that Jesus, he says, I am the light of the world, that you and I, with him inside of us, have now become the light of the world. And week two was really enlightening.
Oh, it was. And then we had Kurt and Danita talk about the true vine, where they had that long table set with all these four baskets representing the fruit that we're bearing and the pruning. And they were really sharing how we are all capable of bearing much fruit. But are we all willing to go through the pruning process?
Yeah.
And they left us with that very eye-opening question at the end. Will you choose to abide even though we might get pruned in the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last week, so cool to have Griffin back here with us and see his beautiful family. And he spoke on the fourth I am statement, that I am the bread of life. And wow, I really loved his example of the Cheesecake Factory menu. Do you guys remember some of this? All the options, right? There's so many things in this world that we could choose to turn to satisfy us. And he really simplified it for us, saying that Jesus made this statement, that I am the bread of life. I'm the only thing that will ever satisfy you. And so we've really dove into that. And today, we're really excited to dive into the fifth week, and we're going to unveil that in just a moment. But just so you know, the heart of this series isn't so that our church walks away a little more knowledgeable with fun facts about who Jesus is. You know, I can rattle off these statements. No, it's that you and I truly come to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And as we come to know who he is, we come to love who he is. And as you and I become to love who he is, we begin to follow Jesus. He begins to become this Lord and Savior that he's always planned and purpose in our life. And so we're going to stand right now. We're going to start off this morning. Yep, come on, you guys, to our feet. And we're going to read a famous passage of Scripture. And this is a passage that comes from the Old Testament. And this Old Testament is actually a prophecy that we're going to see fulfilled today in the person of Jesus. You guys have probably heard this before, so this shouldn't be too hard to rattle off with us together. But let's share this. We're going to read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You guys can take your seat. We're going to dive today into John chapter 10. And Jesus has a crowd around him, his disciples, followers, but also Pharisees. And he makes a statement that really was pretty radical. Mm-hmm. He said, you know that guy in Psalm 23? That's me. I am the good shepherd. And that's what we're going to unpack today, this I am statement of who Jesus wants to be in our life, that I am the good shepherd. And today isn't going to just be another oral presentation where we talk to you guys. We're going to actually have a little bit of interaction today, okay? And so I see a couple of you with journals. You're going to want to have that. If you have the Harborside app, you're going to open that because we're going to actually ask you some questions today, and you're going to actually have a couple minutes to respond to these things. And so this isn't just sit back and watch. We're going to invite you guys to really interact with us because we really believe the Lord wants to speak to you and to speak to me. We need him to do what he does as the good shepherd. Yeah. So I want to share this from the get. A shepherd has three things that a shepherd does. You guys are going to repeat this with me. A shepherd leads, so say this with me. A shepherd leads. Shepherds feed, so a shepherd's feed, and a shepherd protects. A shepherd protects. So let's say those together. Shepherds lead, shepherds feed, and shepherds protect. One more time. Shepherds lead, shepherds feed, and shepherds protect. This is what we're going to unpack today. This is what a shepherd does. This is what he wants to be in your life and in my life. And let's invite him here today. Would you pray for us?
Let's pray. Our good shepherd, we are so thankful we get to be together to learn more of who you reveal of yourself today. And we just ask for open hearts and open eyes, an open understanding of what you want to show us today through your word, Lord. We thank you that we have full access, free access to you, and we can ask boldly and know that you will respond to us. We praise your name and give you all the glory and honor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the first point that Ethan talked about, the shepherd leads, and we have zero experience when it comes to sheep, if I'm fully honest, but we were researching a ton of stuff, like all these fun facts about sheep, and you had something really cool that you found.
Yeah. So picture this. In this time period, sheep would actually share a city pen, okay? So a shepherd would be traveling along with his flock, and he'd come upon this city, and they would go into the city sheep pen. Try saying that 10 times fast. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Yeah. They would enter into the city sheep pen, and in this place, the sheep would enter, and the shepherd may have 10 sheep, okay? But out of that sheep, there could be hundreds of sheep in this city sheep pen. And in this place, a shepherd would actually be able to call his sheep by name. And so although they may all look the same, he would actually call them by their name. And in the mass of sheep, these sheep would be able to come out. And it just was so incredible to see that although there'd be all of these sheep in this pen, that the shepherd would just call their names, and out of the masses, their sheep would come.
And some funny names that we found, according to Google, the most famous sheep names are here. We have Fluffy, Jelly, Pillow, Cotton, Cuddles, Fuzzy, Candy Floss, Kebab, which yeah. is kind of cruel.
I like that one.
And Lamb. So imagine if in a room this big, 10 or 20 of you had the name of Fluffy. And then your shepherd comes and he can say, Fluffy, come over here. And only one of you would respond. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy because they not only identify the name, but they identify the voice. Yeah. So we have a really good shepherd. And if we read in John chapter 10, verses 3-5, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful shepherd. He's so good. He's not just calling you, hey, you. He's calling you by name. Yeah. Because he wants to go before you and lead you into green pastures, into still waters. He wants to lead you. So if he is so detailed and knows us so deeply, calling us by our own name, why is it sometimes so difficult to follow? It's almost like it should be this simple formula. He speaks, we listen, and then we follow. But there is something between the listening, between his voice, and between us following that is not working very well. And I was sharing with Ethan recently about a story about my dad. I was, for some of you who don't know, I was raised in the city, beautiful and chaotic city of Lima. And in Peru, we are very close to the Pacific Ocean. And the Pacific Ocean is quite cold.
You got a photo here.
Yes, this is Lima. And we were raised next to the ocean. We would go there all the time. My dad grew up surfing, and then in this beach, actually. And I remember when I was 12, 13, my dad couldn't hear us very well. We're calling on him. He could see someone is calling. He couldn't hear us very well. He was the worst guy to try to whisper something to in the dinner table because he would make a scene out of it. It's like, what are you saying? We're like, never mind. So we are starting to notice these things from him. And then he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, are you a swimmer? He's like, well, actually I'm a surfer. He's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Your eardrums are perfect. But because of all this cold water coming in through your ears, your ear ducts are shutting down as a mechanism of protection. So it's not that we weren't speaking clearly, and it wasn't that he didn't have the ability to hear. Mm-hmm. But there was something in between that was closing the ear canal where we couldn't communicate with him anymore. And thank God everything worked out. But this was kind of a word picture that we were finding, because it's not that we have a problem. Once we met Jesus, confess with our mouth that he is our Lord, believed in our hearts that he was resurrected by God from the dead, we inherited access to him.
Yeah.
We have freedom to call on his name and hear his voice. We have access to his word where we can learn the cadence of his speech. We can learn the way that he speaks. We have access to the Holy Spirit where he can lead us into knowing the heart of the Father. But what is in the way? So we want to take a moment, like a minute or two, where we can ask. Because if we have a good shepherd and he has given us the ability to listen, there might be something in the way where we can't hear his voice. And we've been through seasons where we're asking the Lord, what do you have next? Where are you leading us, Lord? And it just seems like there isn't clarity. And the easy thing to do in that moment is to think there's something wrong with me. I did something wrong. And then guilt and shame can come upon us. But maybe there's just something in the way that we need to identify and put it aside so we can have clear hearing and we can follow our good shepherd. And maybe that in-between thing that is blocking your hearing, it could be pain. It could be, I trusted once and you failed me. It could be, I asked and I didn't see what I wanted. It could be so many things. But we want to take a couple of minutes where we can ask the Holy Spirit, reveal to us what is in the way. If you're speaking and I can listen, there has to be something in the way.
Yeah. So we got our good friend Hans here who's playing the anointed keys for us in this moment. But we do. I want to invite you to this is this interactive part of this message, okay, where we're going to ask you just to take a moment to close your eyes right now. And we want to get practical. Just as the doctor diagnosed for my father-in-law, what the issue was, we're going to ask that right now, the Holy Spirit, as you enter into this space, Holy Spirit, would you begin to just reveal what is in the way? What is becoming louder than your voice in our lives? We're going to give you a moment to just really begin to ask the Lord what this is. And then as he begins to reveal, I'm going to invite you to begin to write this down, begin to write this diagnosis that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Show us today, Father. We know in this room, we acknowledge that we do not have a leadership problem. We have the best shepherd. You are the good shepherd, Jesus. And we want to hear your voice and follow you. And so right now, would you reveal what's gotten in the way? And as we write this down before you, we lay it before you. We give it to you. Take it, Lord, and lead us to hear you clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you, Hans. Shepherds lead. Second thing shepherds do is shepherds, let's see if you're listening, feed. All right. Shepherds feed. And as we were diving into this, that just really excited me, if I'm being honest, that I have a shepherd that is living on my behalf to feed me. Isn't that really exciting news that Jesus, your shepherd, is wanting to lead and to feed you? As we begin to break this down, what we often saw with the nature of sheep is that sheep actually, if you didn't know this, have one of the worst eyesights of any animal, okay? Not only do they have terrible eyesight, but often the hair will grow over their eyes and they cannot see at all where they're going. And what this often leads to is that the sheep think they see this all-you-can-eat green pasture in front of them, but because they were never designed to let their sight lead them, they often find themselves in really tricky places. Mm-hmm. And I can totally relate. If you're like me, we get the concept of the Cheesecake Factory menu, right? We think we see all of these different options around us that may satisfy our souls, but we can go to these things and quickly find that these things do not satisfy. So thankfully, you and I today have a shepherd that is leading to feed us. we were talking about an example of this. Imagine you and I go out to dinner or to lunch after church today, and we have this incredible feast, all right? You're at your favorite restaurant, whatever it is. We've been kind of bashing cheesecake, so let's just take them for example, okay? We're at a lunch today, and we're enjoying this incredible feast. Tomorrow, we don't eat. Tuesday, we don't eat. Wednesday, I mean, we're hungry by Wednesday, okay? And then all of a sudden, we start complaining, saying, what in the world was wrong with that meal that I ate on Sunday? Why am I hungry today? So the next week, we try another restaurant.
Right.
And we have this huge feast. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday comes along, and we're starving once again. And this analogy, as we really begin to think of it, is honestly how we or us have used church. That we come and we have this incredible feast on a Sunday where we meet with God, we enter into his presence, we hear his word. Monday comes along, Tuesday comes along, Wednesday comes along, and we find ourselves in this place where we're really just spiritually starving. Can anyone relate, or is this okay? Because often we haven't learned how to eat and feast every day. As we see in the Old Testament, the Israelites had to go out each and every morning to get their daily bread. And Jesus points the picture in the New Testament saying that I am the daily bread. And so how do you and I begin to posture ourselves to eat each and every day? I want to read this in Psalm 23. This is what a shepherd does. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And as we've dove into this, we have a shepherd that's leading to feed us. Yeah. He wants to teach us what to eat, how to eat, so that Monday doesn't come along and you guys find ourselves in this place where we're hungry. It's natural to be hungry each and every day. But how do we learn to feast with him? And there is no substitute like the word of God and the Spirit of God. How do you and I begin to position ourselves? We have a million babies, it seems like, in this church right now. I don't know if this is the season of life that we're in, but they're everywhere. And it's been really cool to watch some of these babies transition from, you know, the drinking milk now to learning how to eat. And it's the cutest thing, right? We're watching some of them pick up these avocado and just try to pick it up and get it in their mouth, right? And it takes like a minute just to pick this avocado up, and they're missing and it's going everywhere. But there's this process of learning how to eat. What to eat? What is our shepherd leading us to feast on? How often do you and I feast? And we were talking about athletes. Athletes, they don't make a day before decision when they're going to work out. That's the difference between an athlete and just a commoner. That they plan. It's not a if I feel like it tomorrow. No, it is a plan that they have dedicated their life. They have this plan in place in front of them. And that really impacted us, because often, you know, we'll be like, oh, we need to work out tomorrow, you know. And we become really reactive, mm-hmm, instead of being men and women who have this plan, this God-given plan that he gives us to live each and every day. So how do you and I become living each and every day? Lord, what is the feast that you have for us, and when will this look like? And so in this interactive moment, what we want to really try with us today is the first step to feasting is learning to sit at the table, okay? It's learning to sit at the table with Jesus. So I'd like to invite you once again to invite your phone, bring it out in the app. You'll see under the shepherd's feed portion. We're going to actually invite you, and she's going to lead you now through this time of what time this week will you sit at the table? Let's get super practical this morning. Not just this idea, yeah, that's a great message, I need to feast with the Lord, but when will you actually do this? Position yourself at the table with him this week.
Where you are, if you need to take a few seconds and just close your eyes and ask, God, when do you want to meet with me? Where is that hour of the day, that chair in my house? When do you want to meet with me this week? We know that if you're a good shepherd, we lack nothing. There is abundance. There is a feast for us. But show us, when is that moment? When you have an idea, when is that moment for you to meet with him? Write it down. Write it down in the app. Write it down in your journal. And make a commitment for this week. Okay, Lord, I am setting apart this time with you. Setting apart this hour of the day, this space of the house, this moment with you. He truly is so good, and he is ready and willing to meet with us. Just takes that moment to set apart that time to do it. And then this last part that I want to talk about in the few moments we have left with you. It's a shepherd protects. And in verses 11 through 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as a father knows me, and I know the father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is such a challenging context in which Jesus is sharing this. Like Ethan said, there were many Pharisees around him. And in the middle of this text, it says that the Pharisees could not understand what Jesus is saying. It's like, how does this guy have the audacity to say that he is the good shepherd? It was such a hard conversation to have. So when Jesus is saying that he is a good shepherd, he's trying to make a distinction in this moment. Because the Pharisees, it doesn't mean they didn't know about the scriptures. They were the most knowledgeable in them. They had the most information available to them. As a matter of fact, people would come to them to ask for more information about the Lord. And Jesus is here in front of them and saying, my sheep will follow me. My sheep will identify and recognize my voice. They will follow me. And they're saying, what? This sounds so strange. What are you saying? So let's catch this. The Pharisees were filled with knowledge, but they had not experienced a transformation or an intimate relationship with their Lord. Hmm. And that's what Ethan was talking about earlier in this message. That in this series, we're learning so much more about Jesus. But is the goal just to know more about him or to grow in a more intimate relationship with him? Do we want to stay just in the knowledge, or do we want to be a walking evidence of the transformation of walking with our good shepherd? This is such a fine line that we can only experience when we're learning who he is and growing in that relationship with him. And when it's talking about the hired hand taking care of the sheep and only the good shepherd will lay down his life, as we're praying, we're thinking, what are those things, those knowledgeable concepts, those wise thoughts that seemed like they were our safe place? We're talking about the shepherd protects us. We find more comfort in certain thoughts over what the shepherd is speaking to us. We might think through advice from people that we admire or through life experiences, and we decide to do things a specific way, where we think that we are in a safe place because we have managed to craft a safe environment for ourselves. But when the wolf comes, like this scripture says, those thoughts, those ways of doing things will not be enough to keep you safe. Only following, listening, and feasting from the good shepherd will keep you protected and will keep you safe. So that's why when Psalm 23 says, even when I am being led through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So in this context, it's revealing to us that a safe place is not a location. It's not knowledge. It's not a possession. It's a person.
Amen.
Our safe place is Jesus, our good shepherd. And it's so hard to identify this or recognize this in our day-to-day life. It might only be revealed whenever we have a moment of crisis. But as we walk with our good shepherd, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to fear. And we want to take this very last moment before we close to ask you to identify what are those thoughts or things around your life where you have found more comfort over than the voice of your good shepherd. And we've all been in that place. In my personal life, I have allowed good advice from others. I've allowed the desire to be accepted by a certain group. I've allowed so many other voices to lead me. And it never ended in abundance. It never ended in a feast with the Lord. It always ended in self-destruction. And we were learning when we were studying about the good shepherd and the sheep and how he took care of the sheep. And back then, what the shepherd would do, he would cover the sheep's head with oil. Because yes, they would take care of them from the wolves, from whatever animal was trying to scatter them or snatch them. But he would also take such good care where he would cover their heads with oil to cover their eyes, their ears, their nose from any parasite that might come their way. And often in the scriptures, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit is oil. So our good shepherd doesn't only want to protect you in the big things in life. He wants to protect you even in your thoughts as he covers you. If we are under his care, he is covering our mind, our ears, our eyes with the Holy Spirit. He wants to take such good care of you. And we find so much hope in knowing that we have access to him. All we have to do is turn from our old ways and follow him. There is no other requirement. There's nothing we have to achieve in our own strength, but to come in a posture and ask him, Lord, will you be my good shepherd? And he is here for you. He is here for us. So we'll take a couple minutes. Just ask him once again. Where have I found safety that is outside of you, Lord? Have I relied and trusted more in the things I see naturally and the ways I can control my environment? Thank you, Lord, that as we ask, that we know you meet us right where we are.
Lord, as we come into this moment, thank you that you are the shepherd of this church. You are the shepherd of this house, that you love us with such an incredible love. And so, Jesus, we just welcome you in this room right now, that you would do these things in our life, that we would allow you to be what you have always longed to be, that you would lead us, that you would feed, and that you would protect us. So, Father, in this space, in this gathering, Lord, we come, we welcome you. And we ask, Lord, that your oil would just fall, overflow, pour out upon us, pour over our heads, our eyes, our ears, our minds. We give you the space. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shepherd King. Make it personal today. Speak only to him.
I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd King. Jesus, I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd King.
God, you're worthy of me, my life laid down.
So I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd. I run to the shepherd King. And I run to the shepherd King. For the shepherd King, he is enough for me. I fear no evil. Your rod and staff are comforting my head with oil, your anointing. My cup is overflowing, for your goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall follow.
And our good shepherd is leading us to the Holy Spirit, and he pours over our head like oil. So if you have not received the Holy Spirit, today he will come. And if you would like to receive him, you can just open your hands or place your hands upon your head. And with all sincerity, the Bible says just to believe. That's all it takes. It doesn't take good works. It doesn't take Bible knowledge. It just takes belief. So Holy Spirit, we receive you. We receive you like an oil over our heads. We receive you over our eyes to keep us from the parasites of what our eyes see. We receive you over our ears, Lord, to keep you from the lies of the enemy. We receive you over our mouth, Lord, as a guard to protect our tongue that tries to be oh so wild and violent. We receive you over our hearts, Holy Spirit, like a floodgate over our hearts. We receive you over our homes, Holy Spirit, that no enemy would be able to come into the door frames of our home, that the Holy Spirit would be moving in our workplace, Lord. We receive you, Holy Spirit, and we run to you, the Good Shepherd King. We will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy until my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And I run to the Shepherd King, for the Shepherd King is enough for me. And I fear no evil, you are with me. Your rod and staff are comforting. And my head with oil, you're anointing. My cup is overflowing. And for your goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall follow me. So wherever you go this week, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you in the fold like his sheep. May he place his seal of protection upon you. May the Holy Spirit guide you, and may you not make decisions based on culture, but based on the Holy Spirit's guiding. May the Good Shepherd lead you to good pastures and to abundance and to overflowing. And may the Lord give you peace. Amen. Have a wonderful day. See you soon.